Why do you need to verify? Because there are many sources of potential error in any procedure, including the procedures used in cloning a gene, it is important to verify your work in the lab. In gene cloning, there's also the problem that some procedures are not selective. For example, when a DNA ligase is used to ligate DNA fragments, many different combinations result from the ligation process. Unless you verify your work, you do not know if you've made the recombinant plasmid that is needed. How to verify the recombinant plasmid. Figure 4.1 shows the method used for verifying your results when making a recombinant plasmid. You verify that the restriction digest and ligation procedures worked by comparing the products of both procedures with each other and with what you started with. Figure 4.1 is the verification method when making a recombinant plasmid. Gel electrophoresis. Gel electrophoresis is used extensively in DNA verification and purification. To identify or purify DNA restriction fragments, it is necessary to separate the various sized DNA molecules. Gel electrophoresis separates biomolecules primarily according to their molecular size, which for DNA is measured by the number of base pairs. The backbone of a DNA molecule, because of its phosphate groups, is negatively charged and therefore will move away from the negative or black electrode and toward the positive or red electrode. Because it is easier for small DNA molecules to move through the agarose mixture, they will migrate faster than larger DNA molecules. See Figure 4.2. Figure 4.2 shows the separation of DNA by size using gel electrophoresis. Consider, after different DNA fragments and plasmids have been separated by gel electrophoresis, the gel is stained to show bands that indicate the location of each kind of fragment and plasmid. The drawing of a stained gel below shows a series of bands that have been labeled with letters. The location of the wells are also shown. What is the order of the fragments from smallest to largest? Plasmids in gel electrophoresis. While short linear pieces of DNA move as expected when run on gel electrophoresis, the movement of plasmids is not as straightforward. This is because a plasmid can exist in different configurations that move at different rates through the gel. There are three plasmid configurations. The most common plasmid configuration is supercoiled. You can visualize this configuration by thinking of a rubber band that is twisted. This twisting, or supercoiling, results in a very compact molecule, one that will move through the gel very quickly for its size. This configuration is only seen in plasmids that have been replicated in bacteria, because supercoiling of a plasmid requires an enzyme that is found in the bacterial cell. It is the default natural plasmid configuration found in bacteria. The second plasmid configuration is a nicked circle. You can visualize this configuration as a large floppy circle. This plasmid has a break in one of the covalent bonds located in its sugar phosphate backbone along one of the two nucleotide strands. This circular plasmid configuration will not move through the agarose gel as easily as the supercoiled configuration. Although it is the same size in terms of base pairs, it will be located closer to the well than the supercoiled form. The third plasmid configuration is a multimer. You can visualize this configuration by thinking of two or more plasmids that are connected like links in a chain. This configuration is only seen in plasmids that have been replicated in bacteria, because multimers form when plasmids are replicated so fast that they end up linked together. If two plasmids are linked, the multimer will be twice as large as a single plasmid and will migrate very slowly through the gel. In fact, it will move slower than the nicked circle. The possible plasmid configurations are shown in Figure 4.3. Figure 4.3, plasmid configuration, the supercoiled, the nicked circle, and the multimer. Consider, if you used gel electrophoresis to separate the same plasmid that has all three configurations, which plasmid would move the fastest and which would move the slowest? Why do the different plasmid configurations move the way they do through the gel? Explain in words or a drawing. Did you know? History of genetic engineering. Genetic engineering is not a new phenomenon. Throughout history, humans have used selective breeding to produce organisms with desirable traits. The science of agriculture began with the selection of wild grasses and subsequent breeding to form the precursors of modern staples such as wheat, rice, and maize. In selective breeding, two members of the same species are bred together to encourage desirable traits in their offspring. For example, cows that produce large volumes of milk may be bred to pass on that trait to future generations. The process of inserting or removing DNA from an organism's genome is very new technology, but it holds tremendous promise. With genetic modification, we can increase the nutritional value of staple foods, engineer bacteria to produce the therapeutic proteins for use in medicine, and perhaps even disable genes that cause disease. In organisms produced by traditional selective breeding, the offspring's genome contains genetic information from both parents. In modern genetic engineering, the new organism also contains genetic information from multiple other organisms. Genetic engineering achieves results similar to selective breeding, but more rapidly and with far greater precision.